Today we're going to visit with plots coordinator Kevin Kading and talk about plots acres and what hunters can expect this fall. I'm Mike Anderson with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Kevin, hunting seasons have started somewhere right around the corner. What can hunters expect on plots land this fall?
Well, Mike, it's going to be a little bit different fall, I think, going into it this year with the dry conditions. But as far as plots acres, we're about the same. We're at about 800,000 acres. We didn't go up, but we didn't go down. We went maybe just down a tick, but hunters really won't notice that out on the landscape. By and large, you know, we were pleased with where we ended up this year, given the conditions. You know, it's really dry, and conditions are not good right now.
Kevin, you said we stayed about the same amount of acres, but what people don't understand is acres expire throughout the year, and there are some acres you guys had to renew this year.
That's right. There's a lot of acres that, you know, in the program that expired that have to be renewed in order to have them ready to go for the fall hunting season again. So agreements are always expiring, and there's always new agreements coming in. A lot of times those agreements that expire are renewed for another term. Sometimes they're not. So that's why hunters will come across one of their plots tracks that they've hunted in the past, and now it's not there this year. They come and go from the program, but that also means workload for staff. We're not just out there signing up lands and continually adding acres to the program. We're maintaining acres in the program as well. And it varies from year to year. Plots agreements can range from 2 years to 10 years and even longer than that, sometimes 10, 20, 20 years. And so those are all staggered out. Those end dates and those expiration dates are all staggered out. And so some years are higher in workload as far as expirations and renewals, and other years are lighter. And this year was a pretty big year for that. And so our field staff were pretty busy. And one example of that is over 30,000 acres of plots tracts that were enrolled in CRP that had a CRP contract expire had to be renewed. So the landowner got their land back into CRP for 10 more years, or maybe 10 or 15 years, and then they chose to put that land back into plots. So while we didn't gain any new acres there, we renewed acres again for 10 or 15 years. So pretty good, you know, to be able to do that and have those acres in the program for that long.
Kevin, the plots guide is currently being printed, but that's not the only way you can find plots acres.
Right, the plots guide's kind of been the staple for all these years. You know, it's been on everybody's dashboard in the vehicle and on the front seat, and it's still produced, it's still printed, but we're seeing less and less demand for that every year. You know, hunters are more inclined to use the online versions of the plots guide or the applications for the smartphone, Onyx and other platforms like that. There's so many other ways to get that access and get access to that information, but we are still printing the plots guide.
Kevin, let's talk about the components of the plots program. For example, you get out to a plots acre and it's hayed. Explain that situation.
There's a lot of moving parts to plots. On the surface, you know, the hunter or the person just out there driving by is gonna see a yellow sign and think they're all the same. But they're not, they're actually quite diverse. You can't just look at a plot sign and assume there shouldn't be cows on it or assume something shouldn't be hayed. In most cases, almost every plots agreement has provisions for haying or grazing built into it. And we've done that purposely. We, you know, got to have a program that works for landowners. And without that in there, we probably wouldn't have many people interested.
It's a dry year. How does that affect plots?
As a hunter, I would, you know, I don't want to, you know, paint too gloomy of a picture, but, you know, probably have some expectations that you're going to come across some pretty tough habitat conditions this fall.
With dryness, you have to be very cautious about fire as well, being on the landscape.
Yeah, exactly. And that goes without saying for any year. We just want people to be using common sense out there. But this year, especially, be a little more aware of that. Driving down section lines, any type of cover, you know, stay off, you know, wherever there's any heavy cover, don't be driving into that stuff. You shouldn't be anyway, but even section lines where there's tall cover in the middle of the road, be careful of that.
Right, and just use common sense with other things, litter, anything you bring in, take out, and just respect the land.
Absolutely. I mean, with plots, it's private land, and not just on plots. Any land you're hunting, you know, use that common sense. And this year, I think everyone's a little bit extra tense, a little extra stress on everybody out there. It's, you know, it's not a good year for wildlife. It's not a good year for producers, ranchers. Everyone's struggling this year, you know, and so everyone should just, you know, be a little more sensitive this year to those conditions.
Okay, there are certain rules and regulations on plots land as well.
There are, and these have been around for quite a long time, but plots is open for walk-in hunting for the purpose of walk-in hunting during any legal hunting season. So any other activity besides walk-in hunting requires landowner permission. And that's been that way for quite some time now. So that means if you want to drive out to set decoys, you would need permission for that. If you want to drive out to pick up a deer, you would need permission. If you wanted to do other things that aren't hunting related, target shooting or horseback riding, any of those types of things, you need landowner permission. It's private land. A couple things that we clarified this year that have been getting to be more common. We get more questions on this all the time. Shed hunting. Shed hunting has become more popular just everywhere. And people are asking and wondering if they can shed hunt on plots. Well, that actually doesn't fit the definition of hunting. So shed hunting would be one of those activities that would require permission to go out there on a plots tract. There's been some other changes to, not changes, but just clarification. Snaring and trapping, again, those things can occur on plots, but with trapping, you need written permission to hunt, to trap on private land in North Dakota, no different on a plots tract. But we're trying to let people be a little bit more aware of that when, you know, if you're a trapper, these areas get a lot of use by hunters with their dogs, and so be aware of that. If you're a trapper, if you're a hunter, be prepared, you know, to know how to get your dog out of a trap if that did happen. It doesn't happen very often, but it can. But just be prepared and be aware that there may be traps out there. There's one other change this fall, Mike, that some hunters might notice. During the last legislative session, a bill was passed that allows non-residents who own land that have that land enrolled in plots to hunt their own plots land during the first 7 days of the pheasant season. And prior to that, they weren't able to do that. So non-residents still can't hunt plots during the first 7 days, but if they have land that they own and that land is enrolled in plots, that's the exception.
Kevin, even though it's dry, there was a few high points in the plots program as well.
There was, actually, and so, yeah, not to focus on all the negative things right now, but yeah, we did enroll over 2,900 acres of new land into plots that's part of the Wetland Reserve easement program. So USDA Wetland Reserve easement, and those producers chose to put that land into plots. Our field staff worked really hard, but we still had 3,000 acres of new habitat, new grass go on the ground. That's going to be available. Probably not a lot produced this fall, but you know, for years to come, those are longer term agreements too that'll be available for quite a while. And then overall, we just got some neat things going on. Probably wouldn't be noticed by a lot of hunters, but there's some neat things going on up in the Turtle Mountains. Our biologist up in that Devil's Lake region has worked with the producers up there to do some management on their aspen forest. Again, there's some other things going on outside of the plots program, but within our private lands program that that might help some wildlife habitat down the road. We've got an Outdoor Heritage Fund grant with the Department of Environmental Quality. We partnered with them and some soil conservation districts in the Red River Valley to put some habitat over in those seven different counties in the Red River Valley. So part of the state that typically doesn't have a lot of wildlife habitat, and if we can kind of get some little bits and pieces put in over there, it's a start. It's good to have that. So some neat things going on, even though there's a lot of, the drought has kind of been the focus this year, we still did have some nice projects get done.
Kevin, so the bottom line is hunters just need to be patient and use common sense this fall when hunting.
Yep, that would stand a reason for any year, Mike, but this year in particular, it's a little more sensitive out there. You know, it's dry, drought conditions and habitat conditions are gonna be tougher, and just want people to be a little more considerate and just kind of use common sense when they're out and about this fall.
A lot of great information, Kevin. Thank you.